Want to take the SoCal Sound with you anywhere? Download the SoCal Sound app to your mobile device. You could stream the SoCal Sound 24/7. See what song just played on our playlist, listen to an archived show, read an article from our newsfeed, stay up to date, or watch a SoCal Sound session. It's all there, and it's now Apple CarPlay and Android Auto compatible. Download the SoCal Sound app today.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the SoCal Sound, the SoCal Sound Sessions. I'm your host, Cliff Beach, the host of Deeper Grooves every Saturday night here on 10 p.m. And I am so excited to be able to bring you an amazing session. But before we do that, I do want to remind you that we are public radio, and to protect public radio, you can support the SoCal Sound by going to the SoCalSound.org, smashing that subscription button. You can always be able to up your one-time donations or monthly subscriptions, but more importantly, those contributions, those donations help these sessions happen. You can always go onto the website to click to win tickets and also get some swag in your bag. But more importantly, we appreciate everyone that contributes to the station, that believes in public radio and continues to support the SoCal Sound. But without further ado, today's session has a man who I know doesn't need an introduction, but I have been a super fan for over a decade now. And I have seen him perform live in Los Angeles, I think at the Knitting Factory for me, but many places, and he's doing some great stuff at the Miracle in Inglewood. And he's here to talk about his latest record, Divine Time. And it's divine time to give a warm SoCal Sessions welcome to Mr. Corey Hamry. Welcome.
Thank you. So glad to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
I am just amazed that we're able to have you here and to really be able to talk about this latest project, Divine Time, which is coming off of the Grammy Award-winning Church record. So how is it now the divine time to release this record, and what do you want people, knowing your tinge of gospel and spirituality, funk, soul, jazz, R&B, everything in between, what do you want them to hear in this new Divine Time record?
This record for me is a testament of maturity. I'm writing songs now about experiences that I've lived through and experiences I want people to go through with me. There's some songs about love, you know, and finding love and wanting love. There's some songs about getting paid and partying and feeling the joy of getting a paycheck. Which I think most adults can identify with. There are songs about needing to find help, and you know, and in this world, you know, I think we all need a little help. And there's songs, deep songs, about wanting to get the glory, but not wanting to die to get there. You know, I think that's another thing. Kind of hit me as I was growing up, because I grew up in a church tradition that kind of makes you think you had to die to make it to heaven and then look nice, you know. So these topics are kind of like, I feel like, mature topics, and I want people to feel, you know, the feelings of soul from our soul fathers like Marvin Gaye and Al Green and Stevie Wonder and all those people. I love Prince. And just hear it in my own unique voice, and hopefully it makes people feel good and want to re-listen to it over and over and over.
Yeah. So then how did it kind of shape, you know, selecting the songs, recording the songs? Every kind of album probably shows an evolution, you know, where you are timestamped at that time. So how is Divine Time versus Church and the other previous projects, how is Divine Time where you are today?
Yeah, I just think it's a combination of different parts of life that has been inspiring me over the last few years. I made this record, most of this record, last year with some of my friends and most of my bandmates, Funk Apostles, and we recorded it with no lyrics on top of it. I just had like mumbles for, you know, for top lines. But once I got into the studio and started thinking about the things I actually wanted to say, it started hitting me a little harder, you know, just focusing on what I'm living through and bringing that to life now. I think every record I actually work on is kind of a testament of where I am in that time of life. And now that I'm a little older, I feel like it's time to write about, you know, something else, mature issues. And and I try to make it relatable as possible. You know, I got some of my friends, we all kind of went through some of these things I talked about. You know, some jokes were made and just inspired me to, you know, just try to bring it all together into a beautiful song. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think about, like, kind of, there are some artists where they have, like, long gaps. You look at, like, Michael Jackson, you know, in between Thriller and then Bad, you know, there was her 5-year period. Mm-hmm. You know, do you normally think of, I could take some time off and tour or regroup, or does just inspiration hit where you're like 6 months in, I'm ready for a new record?
I'm ready. I'll put out a record every month if I could. I got so much music sitting in my hard drive, and it's just like, I think this record is kind of a combination of that as well. Like, I was looking for some other pieces of music to write to, but I found one of these sessions, and like, all of these songs in this session, I was like, wait a minute, I need to put that out right now. I called it Divine Time because it felt good to have these topics be talked about after I won my church record. And I had a lot of people feel that I was going to put out another gospel project, which I will at some point. But I'm never one to box myself in, and I never let nobody else box me in musically or anything else. So it was kind of like me just kind of telling myself, this is like my time to shine. I feel like now that I won the Grammy for my church record, you know, and everything else is going to work out the way it's supposed to work out in divine time, all the things, you know.
Did you feel like the win for the Grammy for church was divine time for that?
Absolutely. I've been nominated several times before for my own pieces of work, which I'm totally excited about. But winning for this church album has been the best for me. I'm actually glad that, you know, I don't want to say that I'm glad that I didn't win the other ones, but I'm so glad that I won for this one, because this is a combination of my life experiences. I've been playing in church since I was 2 years old, and I wanted to make a record that was like the best Sunday morning that you can ever feel. You know, if you came to my church when I was a kid, you hear some of these songs, you know, and it's, you know, and I wanted to feel like, you know, it'd be like 2 hours or 2.5 hours of, you know, music or church service. So I wanted to, you know, commemorate the memory of my mama and my daddy and the music that they put me onto, because I feel like that is still fire. And my grandmama's on there, and, you know, some of my Brooklyn people, family, I was on there. And I'm so happy that, yeah, like, you know, that I won for this one specifically, because it means a lot to me. I feel like a, you know, kind of making my mama proud. So, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, that's what we all, you know, want. You see movies like The Sixth Sense, like, do I make you proud? I make you proud every day. So I'm sure they're amazingly proud of you. And your family has been so supportive of your career your whole life. And the church record, you see that picture of you on the organ with a real Leslie, I'm assuming, in there. And there's video content of you as a kid playing as well. So then how are you bringing that into Inglewood, into the Mugo Theater, into these Sunday services that you've been doing once a month, the last Sunday of every month?
Wow, yeah, it's been amazing. Since winning this Grammy, I've had this idea to start a movement to further on the, you know, the, I don't want to say tradition, but I want to say the music, the spirit of the music that I love the most. This movement has been amazing here at Inglewood, at the Miracle Theater, the church experience. We meet normally on 4th Sundays, and it's like really special to see people from all different walks of life, age groups, and all the things come together in good spirit, high spirit, in praise to God, and not be caught up on like religious things, and not be caught up on like traditional ideas and all these other things. And it's been going on 7 months, and every month is special. Every month has had people showed up that I didn't even expect to show up. Special guests, all these amazing singers and musicians, and I started a choir. You know, about 40 people in the choir, and a horn section, and a full band, and every Sunday soul food. You know, mac and cheese and yams, and all the things. Comedian and all these other things has been great, and I'm just looking forward to taking it as far as I can. This has been it has been a answer to retirement from tour, and it feels amazing. It's going better than I thought it would, and I'm really happy and proud of it.
Yeah, I just have to say, I haven't been yet, but I plan to come this month. But
you gotta come on out.
But more importantly, I love the concept. I love the communal aspect. I love where you're doing it at the Miracle and revitalizing that area of town. And you've been in LA for years. And this gives you like more of an anchor there now, playing out more in Los Angeles. But yeah, I love this idea of taking this church music, but to all walks of life, to people, because Sunday can be very kind of buttoned up, you know. Mm-hmm. Churches, you know, don't celebrate together, you know, different denominations, so there's a lot of split, and this really kind of gives a unification.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, like, there are some people who will preach from a pulpit and some people who will perform from a stage.
Yeah.
But the performance aspect are very paralleled and similar in that way.
It's the same. Mm-hmm. It's the absolute. I was telling a friend not too long ago, man, he's a preacher friend of mine, and we was having this little debate because when I told him about what I was doing, he said, "Who's preaching?" I said, "I am." He said, "Well, you standing up when you preach the Bible?" I was like, "The music is preaching, you know?" And he had a little, we was going back and forth, but I was like, "I don't understand why you're making differences in music and, you know, preaching in the way that you're doing, but I understand where you're coming from, like from a traditional standpoint." But I was like, "Man, it's interesting, because when you finish, you know, when you're about to close your message, after you have talked, right, for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and you're about to close your message, you're going to spend the next 10 minutes going, 'And God said, ah, you better get about your chair.'" And you'd be like, "Now you're musicking me. So what's the difference?"
Yeah.
You know, music is powerful and it's a gift. It's like the greatest gift. And we get messages through music better than we do just talking. That's why we teach kids the ABCs with a melody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's why, like, when we go to massage parlors, they're playing, like, sound baths and all these things. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm just taking it to the next level where it's like, you know, it's not traditional. You're not going to hear, you know, nobody get up for 30 minutes and trying to, like, convince you of something. I don't need that right now. I don't think we need that right now. That's my opinion. What we need is more transformative experiences, like kind of like how it was maybe before people got so smart and all this computer stuff kind of changed people's positions on what they think about God. You know, back in the day, I listened to my grandparents talk about how, you know, people like Bishop Mason and Bishop Cotton Pearson was, you know, they wasn't that smart in doing all this hermeneutic stuff biblically and, you know, trying to divide the Bible, whatever. But miracles was happening. Like, blind people would come to these things and leave with sight, and people who don't got bald head,
yeah,
you know, growing hair out their head, because like whatever's happening in this spiritual space is explainable. And I think God is unexplainable. Mm-hmm. And I think music is the most powerful thing that we have. So the more I connect to that, I feel like lives are being changed. People have testified to me about how the music, especially the church music, has changed their life in multiple ways. And that makes me the most proud, you know, more than touring, more than doing anything else. Like, just like reaching people, building community, having his space like that. It's like, it's a big deal, and I'm happy to do it.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, I think it is divine time, audience, for us to hear one of the songs from the new record, the title track, Divine Time, which Corey Henry is going to be playing here in studio. Let's check it out now.
To the heavens, maybe love will find its way in divine time. In the stillness of the night, I search the stars above, looking for a feeling of true love. And in the depths of my heart, I feel it calling me, calling me. And I know it make its way in divine time. I catch myself daydreaming of a love, sweet love, I've been searching for, but it's all up to the higher power to decide if it's meant to be or not to be. Either way, I'll be fine. I'll keep the hope alive. Oh, for in waiting for the promise, I'll find strength inside. 'Cause love will find its way in divine time.
Back. That was just listening to Corey Henry in session at the SoCal Sound with his title track, Divine Time. go check out that record. That's an amazing record, Divine Time.
Thank you. Continuing
through there, now I saw you in Los Angeles play at the Knitting Factory Federal, which is now closed. But when I saw that show and seeing all your live content, Operation Funk Live, the LA Live with the Prince cover controversy, which I love. Do you have a favorite memory of performing, maybe even at the Miracle in LA?
Oh, at the Miracle? Oh man, there's so many, because every one of those things have been amazing. My favorite moment at the Miracle, it was probably like 2 months ago. I wrote a song called Never Alone. Mm-hmm. I put it on Instagram and it was kind of going crazy. I told it to my choir. And we sung it at my church thing. And at the end, I was gonna leave the concert with this song, with everybody like crying, right? And somber and chill. And I gave like the benediction and people started walking out, half the crowd started walking out. And my boy Sput was like, yo man, hey guys got it. And I was like, I stood there for about 10, 15 seconds. I was like, Holy Ghost said, yeah, we need to do that. So I was like, everybody, quiet, come back on. And I screamed in the mic, everybody who walking out, get back in here. We got to sing. God's Got It went for about 10 minutes, right? It goes like 10 minutes and we ended the song. And then for about 30 minutes after that, it was like pandemonium, like the Holy Ghost spirit took over. All these different people. Like my choir is comprised of a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And it was special to see the people who don't come from where I come from, in terms of when shouting music and like exciting music hits, there's, you know, in my culture, there's like a certain look and a certain dance that people do, right? And you can tell the church ones, right? And it was like, all right, there was that happening. But then there was like people that wasn't church dancing in a way that I just loved. I was like, wow, that just looks beautiful how these people were dancing and stepping to music. And then I looked in the crowd and there was, you know, all different people who, you know, haven't been a part of this. I call it like the afterglow moment, you know? It's like, it's all unscripted, but you know, the band is playing and people are just like in this, you know, in this space, in this jam moment, but not jam. I can't even say jam. It was like super spiritual. People were falling out and crying. Somebody almost called the ambulance. They thought something was happening. And then one of my choir members, Mother Tia, she's like, "Oh no, leave her alone. She's all right." Lady on the floor looked like she hemorrhaging or something like that.
Yeah.
And she's having like a really spiritual breakthrough happening. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I kind of knew. I was like, "Wow, like this thing is bigger than music. You know, it's bigger. People need to release." You know, they need to have a place where they can feel safe mm-hmm. and cry
yeah.
and dance and joy. Because you can't even really do that in church. People be judging and people be acting weird if you start acting weird. Mm-hmm. But over here, you know, cats start acting weird and people get more weirder. People get more, like, into it. Weird is probably not the right term.
Yeah.
But, you know, people get into it. And sure. It is nice. When I saw that happen, I was like, oh, this is really, really, really blessing me that people feel safe enough to come to this experience and show out. You know, people dress up.
Yeah.
People be coming up with these suits and dresses on and they nice shoes and things. I'm like, that's beautiful. Also, when I see people eat, I open up a restaurant.
Mm.
And when, you know, I think our first month, we did about 150 plates, which was 70 plates or so over what we thought we was going to do because it was our first month.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people told me, they said, oh, the food is good. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, bigger than the music. I mean, I'll tell you, I hold on to the fact that I'm feeding people,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just musically, but physically.
Yes.
You know, it makes me feel like old school church. So beyond the music, those experiences live with me and makes me want to keep doing it and keep building it.
I agree. I mean, we see the model of Jesus. He invented the fish dinner.
Go ahead, you come know? On.
Take
right?
you a basket to go.
Yeah, go ahead. That's right.
So that's blessed. Now, so going back to your Snarky Puppy days, I first caught you in that amazing Grammy Award winning Layla Hathaway video. I there's a moment where she splits into these tones and I see you like, wow. And then we see the bass player and everyone looking. But basically, while you were playing keys in that band, what stands out to you in that era, and then when you knew it was Divine Time to go solo?
I think that moment actually stands out, working with Layla and working with Snarky. When I was in the band, it was a great time. I had a great time working in the band. I learned a lot about music, touring side of things. I've never been inside of a band that really cared about music as much as they did. They was thugging it. I mean, you know, 15, 17 people in the van, you know, people, you know, two people sleeping in a bed, you know, four people in one hotel room, and all sorts of just like grassroots, just like trying to make it. And that was beautiful. When we was working on the record with Layla Hathaway, it was our first time inviting singers to the band in that way. And Sput made the arrangement of her song that was already out. I remember us rehearsing it and then getting to the end of the song. And I remember looking at Layla, and she was just like standing there. We had this vamp where the band was just like vamping. And Layla sung the whole song, and we got to the vamp, and Layla was just like two-stepping. And I was like, excuse me, I don't think the greatest in the world should be just over there two-stepping, you know? So I remember like going in my church bag for a minute, and I had told the background singers, I was like, do this, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And they did it, and then Layla started improvising over there. And then we had finished the rehearsal, and it was over. We was like, all right, cool. We got the hit in about an hour. And the hit starts, and then, you know, magic was made. And it changed my life because I didn't know people could do that, you know? I didn't even know that was a real thing. So it was great to be a part of that and all the other Grammy Award-winning things that we did. So many special moments and great times in tour. But I knew before I joined the band that this was a pit stop, not a forever thing. I released my own records before I had joined the band, and I was well on my way to being a solo artist, you know, because I was at the forefront of what I wanted to do, even though I was in that band for quite some time. And I knew, you know, after about year four or five, it was like time to go. There were some things happening that I just didn't like, and it was just like, you know, the signs were in front of me. We started playing certain shows, or we started playing shows where people started screaming out, Corey, take us to church. And I was like, well, if you want to go to church, I might as well go bring my band and we take it to church. And it's just been off to the races. 2015, I started my band. And I was kind of super solo in about 2013 when I released the album called First Steps, my jazz project, instrumental jazz project. So, yeah, and I just never looked back, but it was a great time being with them. All the experiences that I can remember were pretty much good, and even the bad ones are still good and funny. Me and my boy Sput and Mike and some of us laugh about it, you know, now that we're older guys. But, yeah, it just felt like it was the divine time to be doing my own thing, you know.
So who are your apostles then, the funk apostles? Because you are the chief apostle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Who are your main go-to players that you work with that have helped you, you know, build these funk apostles?
The family has grown. There's so many people now. Shout out to my boy Apostle Nick Simrat and Tayron Lockett and Josh Easley and Randy Runyon and Mattia. Celeste Sings and Brianna Turner, Tanika Simone. Shout out to the first apostles, original apostles, Sheree Reed and Adam Agati and Andrew Bailey. Shout out to my new apostles, Stanley Randolph and Dominique Xavier. Aaron Draper, percussion. So. It's kind of grown. So their family is growing a bit, but those are most of the guys.
Well, that's a little
guys and girls.
It's a little more than 12. So that's good that you picked it up. There were more apostles than the 12 as well in the Bible. So then, all the people that you worked with, we had Marcus King when I was here, and he said that you've worked together. You guys have a show, I think, coming up at some point. But I didn't know when he was here that he played piano, and he played piano on the tracks. And he said verbatim to me, he said, I don't like playing keyboard when Corey Henry is there because he's so good. And Marcus King is also so good. So besides Marcus, I've heard you work with Ledisi, Tyra Power, Filthy Philip Lassiter, Terrace Martin, Michelle Ndegecello, Adam Blackstone, Eric Robertson, Benny Sings, BJ the Chicago Kid, just so many people, Imagine Dragons, Wolfpack.
Stevie Wonder,
which is also one of your, I'm sure, influences. Now for me, and this is my fan nerd out phase, but I saw you in Europe with Jacob Collier doing a duet of Herbie Hancock's I Thought It Was You, which is just crazy. And so, yeah, do you have a favorite, because we talked about it later, but a favorite collaboration that felt magical to you?
I made a record with Rosalía. We won a Latin Grammy.
Amazing.
Yeah. That was magical. We was in the studio together, and to hear her story about the song being about her brother or something like that, going through some part of his life, and it was kind of sad. That was magical because we had to turn the story around in a way, and that felt great. It was also great to work with Kanye West.
Oh, yeah.
Worked on Donda.
Sure.
Because he was like in his super spiritual phase, and at that time it was really good to see how he worked and the things he was going for, and making that record was great. Stevie Wonder was magical. I mean, I waited my whole life to play with him and work with him. So, yeah, that's a few.
Did that feel like, how did that feel with Stevie? Like, I feel it would be intimidating, but how did you feel working with Stevie?
No, I felt like I was supposed to be there. Yeah, I played his music my whole life, and I know so many of his songs, and when I try to produce, I try to sound like him sometimes, and there's so many aspects of like music that I get from him. So when I got in the room with him, I was like, let's go. What are we talking about, Unc? like, what are we doing, man?
What's your top Stevie song?
Love's in Need of Love Today.
It's so good.
A B-side called I Gotta Have a Song. Nobody really knows that one.
Mm.
Power Flower is another one that nobody really knows. That's on Secret Life
Secret of Plans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's nice. You know, I love when you call out the B-sides, because that's true musician when you go deep, deep cuts. Yeah. You know, people slept on that record at the time because he had so many prolific albums before. Mm-hmm. But you look at someone like a Solange, she said that was like one of her most inspirational records. Mm-hmm. So,
wow, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Me too, yeah. So I think it's divine time for us to hear another track from you. Not from that album, though. We're going back to Something to Say.
Yeah.
And you're going to do a solo performance of Dedicated, right? And so we're excited to be able to have Mr. Corey Henry in the studio, the Chief Apostle, playing Dedicated.
Frauds for who they are, and if you believe a part of you can be the change that claims your heart, oh, I don't know just when, but it seems to me the world to end. I don't know just when, but it seems to me the world is at its end. Dedicated to the one and only. It's love. Dedicated to the one only. It's love. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Educated, gotta educate me. That's love. for free. I don't know just when to see for me the world at its end. I don't know just when it seems to me it's almost at its end. Whoa, I don't know just when. No, I don't know. World about to end, yeah. I don't know just when it seems to me the world is on the line of sin. It seems like it's getting crazy, yeah. I don't know just when. Oh. It's about the end. I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But this seems to me almost at its end. Ooh. 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 Ooh.
The best way to stay up to date with the SoCal Sound is by signing up for our email newsletter. Get the inside scoop on station events, ticket giveaways, and pre-sale opportunities. Go to thesocalsound.org and click sign up for the email newsletter at the top of the homepage.
And so we are back. SoCal Sessions, live in the hot seat is Mr. Corey Henry, Grammy Award winner, and we just heard Dedicated. Now, as we start to get into the final questions of this piece, we talked about your influences and inspirations, but is there any dream collaboration that you haven't worked on yet that you would love to just put out into the ether, that if God's providence comes, you would work with someone? Who would that be?
I still want to get Stevie Wonder on record. That's what I really want to happen. Everybody else is, I'm up to the opportunities or the collaboration ideas, but I really want to get Stevie Wonder on record. I'm just praying that somehow I can get him on record.
If you worked with Stevie, would it be one of your songs, one of his songs, a new song?
A new song, and it doesn't matter. Really one of my songs, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, to be more specific. He was supposed to be on my church album.
Yeah.
But he's a little too busy.
Sure.
I had a carved out for him. It was perfect. But he maybe get on the next one. Every record I put out a song with a piece for him to play on or sing on. I always think about it. It's like, oh, this solo's open for Stevie Wonder. I had one on Divine Time ready for him. I just didn't ask him about this one.
Yeah.
But the next one, my next church album, I'm going to ask him about.
Now, when you think of Stevie, because he does so many things, what would you want him to do? Because he could sing, he could harmonica, he could keyboard, he could drum.
Whatever he wanted to do, I'd take it. I would ideally want him to sing or play harmonica.
Mm.
I could live with just harmonica, but if he sings and plays harmonica, it's like, oh.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone play chromatica like that.
Yeah, no, it's different.
Ever.
He's different. He's different.
One of a kind.
Yeah.
So then, the
greatest of all time.
So then, speaking of, besides Stevie Wonder being on a record, what is next musically for you?
What's next? I'm trying to work on Divine Time live album.
Okay.
Tell you more about that later. I'm going to start recording the next church project.
Amazing.
I got a few artists that I'm going to produce. Hopefully sign.
Cool.
What is next musically besides making this record? No, just keeping up church on the 4 Sundays.
Some of those hard drive records you said, will they come out?
Oh, yeah. Probably after these next 2 new records come out, though. It's so crazy how the timeline is going for some of this, but I want all the music to come out, for sure. And hopefully next year I can release music on a faster schedule, you know. Maybe it's an album every 2 months or album every 3 months or something like that. But like it's almost that time to be doing that and just stay in people's faces and putting out this music. This church record, hopefully I can put it out by March. I got a holiday record coming out actually next month. I'm going to re-release a kind of soft released one last year and nobody heard it. So I got to re-release it so everybody can hear it.
Well, the good thing is that Christmas holiday comes back around.
Boom.
Back around.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
But then, so what makes you want to make a holiday record?
Oh, I like holiday music, you know. It's something that makes people feel warm or makes me feel warm when you hear chords, you know, Silent Night, certain melodies, you know. It's just like there's a warmness there. And it happens every year, you know. It's its own genre of music, and Christmas songs make people feel happy, and we got some good ones. So,
oh yeah, no, your Christmas stuff is as amazing as your whole body of work. So looking at the body and fast forwarding to many years into the future, the soundbite of legacy, what do you want your lasting legacy to be, or you think you would like it to be?
If it mattered. If it mattered, I want to be remembered as one of the greats, you know, somebody who did all types of music and was successful at all types of music, and all this music sounds good, i.e. like Quincy Jones or Prince or Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Marvin, like anybody like that, those kind of guys. I want to be remembered like that. And I'm working as hard as I can to go down in history as one of the hardest working men in show business. What's some of the best music you've ever heard in your life? The whole discography is listenable and likable and great, you know, because I believe God gave me this music. So I'm just trying to make great music for my whole life.
Well, I can tell you, I believe that God gave it to you too. And I thank God and you for sharing it with the world and the SoCal Sound for being able to share it with all of our listeners. So to close out today with Mr. Corey Henry, who we give a wide applause for, of being here, he is going to do what he calls his grandmother's favorite song, coming off that church with a song from the Grammy Award-winning church, I Can Go to God in Prayer, which I know was made originally famous by Albertina Walker. And so now we're going to have Mr. Corey Henry. Thank you so much for listening to this. This is the SoCal Sessions and the SoCal Sound. Again, you can always donate and contribute on thesocalsound.org. I'm your host, Cliff Beach, signing out. Deeper Grooves every Saturday at 10 p.m. But more importantly, go check out the new Divine Time. It is divine time to listen to great music. Good music will always prevail. We will see you soon. Take care.
difference. What the problem? I can go to God in prayer. Yes, I have this blessed assurance now. I can go to God in prayer. He will take my gloom and sorrow, and he's gonna turn it into light. He will comfort, comfort and strengthen, yeah. I can go to God in prayer. I can call him when I need him. Our Father up in heaven, I can go, God in prayer. I can go to God in prayer. Whoa! Sometimes my burdens, they get so heavy, I can go to God in prayer. I have found one who is so faithful, I can go to God in prayer. He will take my gloom and sadness, turn it into light. Yes, he will never, never, never forsake me. Yeah, I can go to God in prayer. I can call him when I need him. Yes, I will. Our Father up in heaven, I can go to God in prayer. I can go to God. I said, he can work it out. He can work it out. Oh, yeah. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. I don't have no doubt that the Lord can work it out. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Oh, yes. He'll brighten up your day in each and every way. I tell you, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Oh, yeah. I'm a witness that the Lord can work it out. Let me tell you, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. I can call him, oh, when I need him. Woo! Our Father up in heaven. Oh, I can call. I can go to God in prayer. Oh, I can go, yeah, to God in prayer. Prayer. I got a to sing it one more time. I can call him whenever I need him. Oh, our Father up in heaven, I can go to God in prayer. Oh, I can go to God in prayer. I gotta sing it one more time. I can call him when I need him. Our Father up in heaven, yeah, I can go. God in prayer, I can go. To God in prayer, I can go. To God, I can go to God whenever I need him. I can go. But to God in prayer, in the late, in the midnight hour, he's always there. He's on the main line. You can tell him what you want. Woo! Hey, I said he's on the main line. You can tell him what you want. Now I can call him. And when I need him, I can call him. And when I want him, I can call him. He's always answer. He always answer. I can call him. Hey, when I need him, yes I can. I can go to God in prayer. I can go to God in prayer. Yeah.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are a production of 88.5 FM, The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Cliff Beach. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, broadcasting over the air at 88.5 FM and streaming on the web and through the app at thesocalsound.org.